Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne, and you are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. You are listening to episode 42, titled The Brutal Murder of Ashley Young. When 31-year-old Ashley Young disappears after a night out with a friend, her parents kick into action. Her mother will stop at nothing to find out what happened to her daughter. A story that proves parents will stop at nothing to help their children. And that might not always be a good thing.
She was beautiful. She was kind to a fault. Thinking she could save people. Everybody has good mom. Everybody has good. No. Some people don't. Some people don't have good.
Imagine you are sitting at home enjoying a quiet night by yourself, and all of a sudden you get a text from one of your friends. Demetrius Taylor would be receiving a text from his friend that informed him that a woman was going to be texting him. This woman was the mother of Ashley Young. This friend informed Demetrius that Ashley's mother, Christine, would be texting to ask him where Ashley was. This friend, named Jared Chance, told Demetrius that he needed him to tell Ashley's mother that he didn't know where Ashley was, but that he did see her the night before. He was to tell Ashley's mother that Ashley was hanging out with Demetrius all night, not Jared, and Demetrius said, oh hell no, bro. As Demetrius is reading through these absurd texts, he hears a knock on his door. This is a totally frantic knock at Demetrius's door. He gets to the door. Now he's just expecting a text from this mother, but in front of him is standing Ashley Young's mother and her stepmother, and they want to know where the hell their daughter is. Demetrius, being a father himself, is not going to lie to these women. He is not going to do what Jared told him to do. So he shows the two women standing in front of him the text that Jared just sent him. He says, listen, I don't know Ashley. I haven't met Ashley, and I have kids, and I just wanted you to be aware that this guy is trying to cover something up. Now, I don't know what he's trying to cover up, but all I know is I'm not going to cover for him, and I'm not going to lie to you. 31-year-old Ashley Young was the epitome of positivity. Her friends even nicknamed her Sunshine. She would often help out her friends and try to get them to always see the bright side of things. She would always say, if I bought you a smile, would you wear it? Ashley's stepmother describes her as joyful and lovable. Ashley was a hard worker. She had a dream and a goal of becoming a language interpreter, and so she studied hard at her classes at Kalamazoo Community College. At night, she would work as a bank call center customer service rep. She also had a boyfriend, and his name was Moody Farad. Moody was Ashley's first love, and they met at age 24, so they were together for about 7 years up until this point. But at around age 31, Ashley decided that she needed to move on from Moody. The two of them shared an apartment together, and Moody was pretty upset about this. Moody was heartbroken because he didn't quite get engaged to Ashley, but he did give her a promise ring at one point and wanted to spend his life with him. But Ashley was just not in the right space anymore, and it didn't seem like the two were moving in the right direction. Ashley would soon find herself a brand new apartment, and she was going to now be living on her own for the first time ever. She was so excited and looking forward to the future. It was November 18th, 2018, when Ashley meets her mother, Christine, to help her pack up her stuff, and she was going to move out of Moody's apartment. She had already decided she was going to be signing a new lease, and this would actually be the very last time that Ashley's mother would ever see her. Ashley and Christine were best friends. Her mother was truly her best friend, and they communicated quite often via text, phone calls. They were constantly in touch with each other. So, on Wednesday, November 28th, 2018, now this is the night before Ashley's going to sign her brand new lease for her apartment, Ashley decides to go out for that evening and sort of celebrate. She last texted her mother at about 5:55 p.m. on November 28th. She told her mother, "I'm almost at my destination." Seems simple enough, but Ashley doesn't text like that. Ashley's mother was like, "Wait a minute, I'm almost at my destination? When the hell has Ashley ever spoken like that? And also, what was your destination?" Her mother said Ashley would always tell her where she was going to be, but this time she had no idea. She didn't think too much of it at that moment, and the night went on. She hadn't heard from Ashley again. She ended up going to bed and just figured she'd speak to her daughter in the morning. In the early morning hours the next day, Christine is awoken from a nightmare. She has a dream that something is wrong with Ashley, and she wakes up suddenly. She says that she felt like her arms and her legs were tingling, and she felt very strange. Morning comes, and still no sign of Ashley. It's November 29th. The entire day will go by. They're thinking, you know what? Maybe she went out with her friends. She got a little drunk. Maybe she's really busy signing her new lease. But this isn't right. This is awfully strange that she's not texting at all, even to tell us about her new apartment. So that entire day goes by. It is now November 30th, and Ashley's mother calls the police. Her mom gets the police involved, but she's also going to do her own detective work. She's not just going to sit around and do nothing. So Ashley's stepmother, Dana, actually says, "You know what? We got to get to Grand Rapids." Ashley and her parents lived in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And through their own detective work, Ashley's moms find out that Ashley had met up with a friend that she knew from her younger years of high school, but she had also been talking to this friend on Facebook. So Ashley's friends had informed her mothers that Ashley said she was going to meet up with Jared Chance, and Jared lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So the two moms get their shit and they get in the car and they go and they try to find Jared Chance. Jared Chance, born January 28th, 1989, was a childhood friend of Ashley's. Ashley almost dated Jared at certain points, but I think when she got into her relationship with Moody, and that relationship lasted about 7 years, she didn't really speak to Jared all that much. But Jared was the type of kid who Ashley would have definitely wanted to help, because Ashley loved to help people. She always saw the good. She always thought, you know what? Even though Jared is a troubled man, he had a horrible childhood, I can fix him. I can help him. Jared Chance lived in a little town called Holland with his parents, James and Barbara Chance, and that was for most of his life. He ended up getting his own apartment in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Jared had a long history of run-ins with the police as a teenager. Jared was big on shoplifting. He had many run-ins with the police in his hometown of Holland. In 2009, Jared was arrested for having marijuana and being drunk on the street. Jared Chance had 38 interactions with police from 2006 to 2016 in his hometown of Holland. That sounds crazy, right? You want to know what sounds even crazier? Jared's father is a retired police officer. In July of 2009, Jared headbutted a police officer in the nose, causing blood to spurt everywhere, and Jared's parents just looked on. And guess what? Jared, he was also drunk while this happened. Of course he was. The next spring, Jared entered his then-girlfriend's home without her permission. He crawled through a doggy door to get inside. So we see where this is going. This man has no boundaries. In the summer of 2011, Jared Chance's parents called 911 because their son was drunk and he began, quote, punching the wall and throwing things in the residence. James Chance, Jared's dad, told police that his son was not welcome back in their home, but 45 minutes later, they let Jared come back in. And another incident in 2016, Jared was physically fighting with his brother, Conrad. Conrad and Jared fought frequently, and Conrad was kind of sick of Jared's shit. He wasn't digging a relationship with his brother anymore. And that was probably because of incidents like this. In January of 2016, Jared and Conrad were fighting over a set of car keys, and the police arrived on the scene. And Jared had the red marks on his face, cheek, and forehead. So when asked about what happened during this incident, their father, James, he said to the police sergeant, "Nothing had gone on, and it was simply two brothers arguing." But 2 days later, Conrad is now going to contact the police office and say, "I'm the one that got assaulted. This isn't just two brothers messing around, and I want to press charges." During another heated exchange between the two brothers, Jared is going to take a blowtorch and put it right next to Conrad's face and pretend he's going to burn him. "That's just two brothers joking along like boys do." Another incident, Jared's going to hit Conrad numerous times with a large stick. And as he's doing this, he's saying to his brother, "I'm going to kill you, you F word." And I know that you all know that I say the actual F word a ton of times on this show. So it's not that one. He didn't call him a fuck. He called him the other F word that I am never going to say. And it can be spelled F-A-G-G-O-T. One of the last police reports that was filed was a report that Jared had called the police department himself. And he told the police that there were three men in his backyard wearing camouflage and they had a rifle. So the police go to his house and there's nobody in his backyard or anywhere near their home. But Jared says, "I took pictures of them. I took pictures of the guys I saw in the backyard." So he shows the police the photos on his phone, and all the police see are just a black screen. And there were random photos of Jared's room and photos of Jared's feet. But there were no photos of guys wearing camouflage in the backyard. And that's a little background on Jared, so you can see why Ashley's mother never wanted Ashley to be hanging out with Jared, even from a younger age. She knew that Jared was bad news, so the minute she finds out from Ashley's friends that Ashley was supposed to meet up with this asshole, Jared Chance, as I said earlier, the two moms are on their way to Grand Rapids, and they find Jared. They talk to Jared. Jared claims, "You know, Ashley and I only went out for a couple drinks, and then I went home." And that's when he tells them that she was with Demetrius Taylor after that. So after the moms speak to Demetrius from the beginning of our story, they end up finding out what bar Jared went to with Ashley, and the moms go to the bar themselves. The police aren't even involved in this part yet. The moms go to a place called Mulligan's Pub, and they ask if they can see the footage from the night before, or from 2 days before it would be at that time. And the bar staff is completely cooperative, and they show the moms the video of Jared and Ashley sitting at the bar. And the bartenders even say, "Yeah, I remember both of them. They were together all night, and they left together." Now, as these two badass moms are doing their own detective work. They don't know that something else is going down, and it is going down at Jared's apartment. A man named Mario Nelson is about to call 911. Mario Nelson lived in a duplex in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mario was the downstairs neighbor of, yes, you guessed it, Jared Chance. So Mario's girlfriend had been complaining because she was smelling something very awful. She was like, "Mario, you need to go figure out what is going on because I swear I smell something and it might be coming from the basement." So Mario starts to walk around the apartment, try to figure out what this is. And he's actually walking around when his cat runs into the downstairs basement. So he follows the cat and he goes in to get the cat. And as he steps inside of the basement, he sees a tarp on the floor. He also sees very quickly from the side of his eye that his washer and dryer has been moved. And that seems weird. So he's looking closer at the tarp and he starts to notice the pool of blood that is surrounding the tarp. Mario's out of there. He runs back up the stairs. He calls 911. And on the police evidence video, you can even hear Mario say, "I'm not the smartest man in the world, but when there's blood, there's trouble." So Mario didn't touch the scene at all. He runs upstairs, gets on his phone. The police are about to arrive. And so are Ashley's mothers, because Ashley's mothers are on their way back to talk to Jared about this Mulligan's Pub video. And they're meeting with Demetrius, but they arrive and they have no idea that this house is going to be surrounded now by police, by an ambulance, by police tape everywhere. And now they are just trying to run past the officers and they are screaming, "I am the mother of Ashley Young." But the police don't understand what they are talking about. They are not that far into this investigation yet. So one of the police officers actually tells Ashley's stepmother to tell her mother, "Do not leave the scene. I need you to stay here, but I can't tell you what's going on yet." Now, what is going on inside of this residence is Mario Nelson is very cooperative with the police. He even tells them to go inside of his house and search. He says, "I have a 12-year-old daughter. I need to make sure that the scene is secured. I don't know what's going on." They ask him who lives upstairs, and he tells them, "My neighbor's name is Jared Chance." The first thing the police are going to do is enter the basement, and they get closer and closer to the tarp. This is on a police evidence video that you can view on YouTube. As they get closer to the tarp, they do notice that there's a zipper and there is blood coming out of the tarp. So they unzip the zipper, and what they find inside is a female torso. There are no arms, there are no legs, and there is no head. Police are going to take Jared Chance into custody, and Karen Curtis, who is the supervisor of the Kent County Sheriff's Office CSI team, is going to go up into Jared's apartment with some more police officers and survey the scene. Karen Curtis says that this scene stands out as the absolute worst scene of her career. She says they get into Jared's apartment and they find large brown stains on the kitchen floor. They also find no shower curtain in the bathroom, and at one point, Karen pulls a grate off of the floor vent, and inside she sees small caliber bullet cartridges. There is blood all over this apartment, and it looks like it was trying to be covered up. Back in the stairwell, they will find a box. It is midway between the stairwell and the landing. They open the box, and inside they're going to see a black trash bag. Inside of this trash bag, they find human limbs. They find two arms and two legs, but there are no hands and no feet attached to these limbs. Police are going to now test for DNA because there is no head. So they do not know if they can identify this body as Ashley Young. Police are trying to talk to Jared in an interrogation room. They are trying to figure out what happened, where's Ashley. And at first, Jared was very talkative and he was very kind. He was not rude. He did not ever ask why he was there. After a few minutes of speaking with the officers, Jared does immediately ask for an attorney. He says, "My father said I need to ask for an attorney," and officers now cannot speak to Jared anymore. On December 2nd, 2018, Jared Chance is going to be charged with the mutilation of a body and concealing a crime. Police are going to be able to figure out that Jared and Ashley were together. They're going to figure this out through their phone records. On November 28th and the 29th, Ashley's phone activity had just stopped altogether, and Ashley was someone that was constantly on social media. They know now that she was last seen at the pub, Mulligan's Pub, but evidence of this video had already been erased by the bar. Thankfully, the two most badass moms in the history of time had already gone to the bar and viewed the footage. So they're witnesses. They already saw the footage. So the police are now going to ask all of the surrounding businesses if they can view their camera footage from those two nights. And boom, they find it. A restaurant called the Pita House had footage from November 29th at 1 a.m. This footage shows Jared in the front of the window, and all you see is Jared. He walks away, and a few seconds later, you'll see Ashley enter the screen and follow him. So now they have proof that Jared was with Ashley at 1 a.m. on November 29th. Another store called Miss Tracy's Market had camera footage of Jared, and he's inside buying ammonia and beer at 8:23 a.m. They show on their footage Jared outside of the store now after purchasing his items, and they show Jared go to his car, pull something from his car, and then go over to the garbage bin in front of the store, and he places something into the garbage bin. Police are able to find out that he put Ashley's purse into that garbage bin. Another key piece of evidence is going to be the fact that Jared's cell phone puts him in Holland, outside of Grand Rapids, where his parents live. So the police now go to Jared's parents' house in Holland. James Chance is going to be the person that opens the door, and since the police have a search warrant already, his father has to let them come in. And his father says something really strange to the police officers as they're searching the house. He is a retired officer, and he says to the cops, "I am so glad I'm not investigating this case, because this is going to be a tough case." And obviously, that officer that he said that to thinks the same exact thing that we're thinking right now. "Why would you say that, sir? And why are you happy that you're not investigating it? And what do you know?" So Jared's parents are going to take the same stance as Jared, and they're going to ask for an attorney, and they will not speak to police at all at this point. But that's okay, because guess what we're going to find in Jared's parents' house? We're going to find a Sawzall underneath the couch. This saw is going to have tissue on the blade, human tissue. They are also going to find a bloody shower curtain. They're going to find a lot of blood on the RV sitting in the Chance's garage. And they are now going to charge Jared Chance with murder. They know that these parents helped. There's no doubt about it at this point. Jared's parents are now also going to be charged with being accessories to the fact after murder. police have pieced together the facts that Jared's parents drove to Grand Rapids. They helped Jared load boxes into their Honda, and then they all drove back to Holland together. The officers are going to try to appeal to the parents and just say to them, listen, your parents, do you know how it feels for Ashley's mother? Can you please let us know what happened? Can you please talk to us? Just think about what this mother is going through. And they don't say a word. On one hand, you have two mothers who are working tirelessly, working so hard to find out what happened to their daughter and doing anything they can to protect her and save her. And then on the other hand, you have two parents who are also trying to save their son, but in the absolute worst way possible. The most horrific thing that they could do, they're helping this person get away with murder. The Chance family shows zero emotion. Zero. Jared's parents are going to go to trial, and Jared's mother, Barbara Chance, she's going to take a plea deal, and she's going to serve 45 days in jail. That's it. But his father, James Chance, he is not going to take a plea deal. He says, let's take it to trial. He thinks he's some badass ex-police officer, and you know what? He is acquitted of perjury. He is found guilty of an accessory after the fact, and he will serve 1 month in jail. And then he will serve a year of probation. And then he and his wife will keep their little fucking mouths shut, and they are never, ever gonna tell anyone what happened to Ashley that night, and they are never going to give Ashley's mother the satisfaction of having her daughter whole and with her and able to be buried. And of course, Jared's never going to speak. His parents won't speak, he won't speak. Nobody knows where the rest of Ashley's body is. Jared is going to be found guilty of second-degree murder, guilty of tampering with evidence, guilty of mutilating a body, and guilty of failure to report a death. Jared Chance was sentenced to 200 years. The judge gave Ashley's mother, Christine, the chance to speak to Jared in court.
Ashley was your friend. Right? She was your friend. You chose to execute her. You chose to dismember her. You chose to scatter her remains. You chose to do all of this. For every action we take, there is a reaction. You can blame no one but yourself for these choices that you made. You stole Ashley's future, her college graduation, Ashley's chance to get married and have children. The one thing she wanted to do more than life is have children. You chose to take that from her. God will punish you more than anything I could ever do. There is no justice here. I cannot have my daughter Ashley back with me. But we will not let her spirit die. She is always with us. Every day. She is in this courtroom now, standing next to me. You threw her out like trash. And she was your friend. Why? Why would you do this? What did she do to you that was so terrible?
And that is the question that will always remain. What did Ashley do to Jared that was so terrible? We will never know. Ashley's mother did speculate that she thinks possibly Jared made a move on Ashley, and she said no. and things escalated from there, and he needed to get rid of her body, and his parents helped. Police have talked to many witnesses, and there were many witnesses that took the stand during Jared's trial, saying that Jared had guns. He loved to flaunt his guns. He even, at one point, had a friend over, and Ashley was there that night. He would love to play Russian roulette with his friends without their approval. He would go up to his friend and just put the gun against his head and say he's going to shoot it. His friend stood on the stand and told a story of Jared doing this one night while Ashley was actually in the room with them. So there is a lot of speculation that something went wrong. Jared was acting crazy with a gun. He mistakenly fired or fired on purpose. And in the end, Jared did what Jared always did, called his daddy for help, and daddy cleaned everything up for Jared. The chances will never reveal where Ashley's head was placed, and that is most likely because then we would find out the cause of death. It's most likely a gunshot wound, and that is why they do not want anyone to find out. But you're already in jail for 200 years, Jared. Your parents are free, though. So I'm not sure who we're protecting here. Wink, wink. Ashley's mother would go on to say, "There is not always good in everyone." She says, "You always see this on TV. You think it's never going to happen to us, but it does." Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode of Residue. I thank you for joining me every single week. I appreciate you all so very much. If you would like to join me on Instagram, it's Residue Podcast. Facebook is Residue, a true crime podcast. TikTok, Residue Podcast. And if you had a little time and could leave a 5-star review, I would love to hear what you think about the show. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and until next time, stay safe and stay paranoid. Residue is hosted, created, researched, and edited by Chrissy Champagne. That's me. Can't wait for you all to join me again next week.